The return of the games to Olympia was an emotional experience for many people in the stadium yesterday. For radio producer Taki Telenidis, it was also a chance to settle a score.
For as long as I can remember, the ancient Greeks have been staring at me. Those faces of athletes and philosophers, blankly looking down from murals and posters in Greek restaurants. Those gods, gracing my mother's coffee table in the living room. Who are these people, I'd ask? These people created Western civilization. You should be proud of them. Yes, but who are they? Our first family trip to Greece began with a pilgrimage to the Parthenon and its museum. More faces, this time the real ones, made of bleached, worn marble, regal and all-knowing. And in more than 20 trips to visit Greece and her treasures, these perfect faces, with their matching bodies, dared me to imagine the flesh that inspired this art, to conjure the bustle of Greece's ancient marketplaces and the spectacle of the Olympic Games. But for all my squinting at sun-drenched ruins and all the stare-downs with stone-faced busts, it never happened for me. Until today.
In the ring, for his put, John Godina.
Deftere group, John Godina.
Seeing these living, breathing athletes strut and spin and sweat on this ancient track took me back thousands of years. Suddenly, I could imagine the Olympians I'd read about. Choroibus, the first champion, who won that 200-meter foot race in 776 BC. Six-time Olympic wrestling champion Milon of Croton, who when he wasn't competing would show off his strongman skills. He'd tie a cord around his head, then hold his breath until his veins snapped it. And the boxer Diagoras of Rhodes, the fair fighter, who legend says never stooped to avoid a punch. I can just see them, taking their bows before their fans. I remove my eyeglasses, and in the blur, the thousands of spectators around me look like they could be wearing togas and sandals, their gossip and giggles rising up in the midday swelter. A breeze through the cypress and pine trees brings relief, as well as the very Greek smell of parched thyme and wild oregano. These same winds would have carried smoke from the burnt offerings made to Zeus at his temple just beyond the hill. I wonder where the ancient trumpeters and heralds stood, charged with calling to attention an estimated 40,000 fans. They say Herodotus of Megara could blow two trumpets at once, and at night slept in a lion's skin. As the competition winds down, the fans are anticipating a winner. The sun dips below the trees, and a shadow starts to crawl across the stadium. Soon, this place will be stone quiet again, like it was for the past 1,600 years. I leave the stadium and walk out to the tiny town of Olympia, where tourist shops line the main street. No thank you, I think, as I hustle past. But then a small marble bust catches my eye in a shop window.
Those are the comments of Taki Telenidis, who's covering the Olympic Games for NPR. Taki is also the media producer for the Western Folklife Center. If you want to see more Olympic coverage, including an Athens diary by NPR reporters and producers, you can go to our website, which is at npr.org.